Take this mask and shut it. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store.
I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. Where we go one, we go all.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have what we call citizen journalists. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information, and they did it through social media. You are demonstrating a level of intellectual courage that our country desperately needs.
Today's Democrat Party is held hostage by haters. Absolute haters. Left-wing haters. Angry mobs. Deep state radicals and their fake news allies.
It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
We look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth. It was because here in this land, we unleash the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine. Wherever we are, we will become the plan when we choose to reject what they call globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
May God bless America.
We're on day three of the convention. The question is, how's it going so far? Well, former Democratic candidate Marianne Williamson has been following it closely. She describes the experience as, quote, like binge watching a Marriott commercial. That's about right. Pretty unappetizing. Platitudes heaped upon cliches smothered in a thick sauce of self-righteousness and stupidity. No normal person could eat what the DNC is serving this week. We tune in because it's our job. So far, the main excitement has been watching just how shamelessly they can lie. The goal appears to be complete reality inversion. Professional rich lady Michelle Obama told America that she was oppressed. The criminally negligent governor of New York bragged about how well he handled the coronavirus. And then Jeffrey Epstein's old pal Bill Clinton showed up to speak as the party's moral voice. There has been a low-grade thrill in watching all of this, we'll admit. At the very least, you've got to tip your hat to their audacity. They don't tell small lies in the Democratic Party. They go all the way. You catch them stealing your wallet, and they arrest you for theft. And then they give you a lecture about how crime doesn't pay. To longtime students of the liberal mind, none of this is new. The left long ago built an entire political party based on the Freudian principle of transference. They displaced their own sins onto you, thereby cleansing their consciences and allowing them to seize the moral high ground. It's a clever trick. But at this point, it's an old trick. We know how it's done. The public certainly seems to have figured it out. Last night, the Democrats' convention lost in the ratings to a variety show called America's Got Talent. A pair of jugglers from the Philippines, brothers wearing glow-in-the-dark headbands, did a yo-yo demonstration on stage. And that outrated Dr. Jill Biden by a lot. We could have told you that was going to happen. Only Nicole Wallace wants to not watch another speech by Dr. Jill Biden. And by the way, what kind of doctor is she? Some of us aren't feeling well. We never learned that answer either. What the Democrats should have done is put the rest of their proceedings on TV. That would get an audience. You might not know this, but most of the actual convention events take place during daytime hours. The networks don't cover them. You have no idea they ever happened. There's a reason for that, obviously. But what a loss for the viewing public. If you saw what they were saying during the day, you would never tune into primetime again. In fact, you might flee the country. For the last 3 days, we have watched all of it. In a moment, we'll show you what we found. We want to begin this evening by bringing you a moment of prayer that broke out at the convention on Monday. A pastor called Frederick Haynes took the microphone. As you listen to this, compare it to what you might hear in your own church.
You had the nerve to build a wall while at the same time you have in the harbor there in New York a Statue of Liberty saying, give me your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Jesus will say, America, if you don't get your act together, you may well go to hell.
To hell! Vote for Biden, doomed sinners, or you're going to hell. Well, it is a pretty straightforward message. Was Jonathan Edwards ever clearer than that? Was Jerry Falwell? Despite what you may have heard, it is the Democratic Party that is the hotbed of religious extremism these days. Pastor Go to Hell Haynes, for example, is a fan of Minister Louis Farrakhan. These are men of faith, just not your faith. But religion is not the only institution the Democrats are reconfiguring at their convention. The Pledge of Allegiance could use an overhaul, too, they've decided, and they're giving it one. Watch the new version.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, someday.
Someday. Right. Someday. This could be a good country someday if we're in charge. Otherwise, it's an awful place. Without us at the helm, America is terrible and not worth saving. You've heard this before. Michelle Obama once suggested it. The first time she was proud of her country was when her family got to run it. That was nuanced by the standards of today. At the Democratic convention this week, a transgender rights activist called Linda LaBeja just came out and said it explicitly.
I've never felt American. I don't know the Pledge of Allegiance. Those are not my systems. The way that is not my president.
Those are not their systems. Donald Trump is not their president, meaning this is not their country as long as they dislike the guy in the White House. So it's all or nothing for them, and right now they're trending toward nothing, which is why they apparently turned over the DNC's stage directions to Colin Kaepernick. Watch.
Many of the videos and pictures you're about to see were recorded before COVID, which is why the kids are not social distancing. However, the audio was recorded over the past month. You may rise or kneel if you are able, per your preference.
You can kneel. So if you watch this stuff for long enough, and we have, it's pretty easy to forget that it's pretty fringy, actually. Look at the polls. Most people don't agree with this. Most Americans like their country. That's why they live here. And a lot of them display that affection by standing for the national anthem. It seems like a small thing, but it means quite a bit to people. Americans have died in battle to protect our national symbols. That is a talking point, yes, but it's not just a talking point. It really happened. But they don't know anything about that at the Democratic National Convention, and they don't think that your kids ought to know about it either. And that's why they've endorsed erasing American history.
May this moment in history manifest more monuments like these to replace the old ones that no one really cares to see anymore. May their emergence and long overdue establishment and existence remind everyone of our terrible, ugly, and hurtful Black world history.
So there are parts of history that no one cares to see anymore, so we're getting rid of it. Are you keeping track at home? If not, we're at Erase American History, Rewrite the Pledge of Allegiance, Mock and Degrade the National Anthem, Turn Christianity into a Political Weapon. They have been busy over there at the DNC. But there's more, because now it's time for some granular policy discussions, the details of how to run the country. Now, we've showed you in previous nights this week some of the DNC's platform. They want to get rid of a lot of the country's prisons, for example. They'd like to do away with bail for accused criminals. But that's just a start, just a little taste, a little appetizer before the main course. So for more, we're going to go to someone now called Jay Mai. You should know that Jay Mai's preferred pronouns are they, them. According to their biography at Wake Forest University, Jay Mai is, quote, a black Vietnamese transgender non-binary gender transcendent mermaid queen king currently living out their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem, end quote. Got it? Okay, now listen to Jay Mai.
Why can't folks imagine a world without the cops? Why can't folks imagine a world without prisons? Why can't people expand their imaginations to include community care, to include an abolitionist future? And I'm talking about like for real abolition, not just watered down DNC version of abolition. We're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about abolishing ICE. We're talking about abolishing prisons.
Yeah, we're talking about abolishing the police, abolishing ICE, abolishing all prisons. We're imagining a world like that. We're bringing it to you. You're starting to get some sense why they're not putting this stuff on TV. Democrats and their faithful lackeys, the media, have been telling you for weeks that none of this is real. You're imagining it. Democrats don't really want to take the cops away and leave you defenseless. Yes, they are voting to take billions from police departments across the country. But that's not really defunding. It's redistributing. Not a big deal. Calm down. But now, Jay Mai shows up and lets an entire animal shelter of cats out of the DNC's bag and lets you know that, yes, all your fears are true. We're doing exactly what you think we're doing. The gender transcendent mermaid queen kings are here, and it's a whole new deal now. Get psyched. And be sure to warn your daughters. No more field hockey scholarships to Bowdoin for them. No, they're boys on the field. Democrats want biological men to compete with girls in sports. Most parents of girls think that's nuts because it is, and terrible for girls because, obviously. But at the Democratic National Convention, it's not even questioned. It's just business as usual. Watch transgender person Marissa Richmond explain.
We're going to have a panel looking at trans youth issues. We've been watching state legislatures, especially here in the South, targeting trans youth for trying to deny them access to health care, education, and even access to the right to play sports, although needless to say, the mishandling of the coronavirus by the current administration is affecting a lot of people's ability to play sports. But they've been particularly transphobic in schools.
Okay, so no more field hockey scholarships, and I'm sorry, your daughters are not going to make the soccer team. That's bad news. Most people could live with it if they had to. But once again, it's just the beginning. What if they abolished capitalism, too? Would you like some breadlines to go with that? How about some humiliation on the side? It's all on the menu. Listen to aspiring economist Ashley Nicole McRae.
This future that we all want, that we're all trying to build, really is about the destruction of colonization, white supremacy, and capitalism.
The destruction of colonization, white supremacy, and capitalism. What does that mean exactly? We're not sure. We're not delegates to the DNC. But we're pretty certain it's going to be bad news for you. But not the end of the bad news. No, there's more. Elizabeth Warren showed up to speak at the Native American Caucus on Tuesday. Seems pretty likely she's come to steal your horses.
Join us in fighting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and in supporting the Democrats so that we can all continue our work for Indian country.
It's just too great. Our work for Indian country. We kept waiting for Ralph Northam to show up at the DNC's African American panel wearing a hood. Maybe that's tomorrow. People online did love the Warren panel, by the way. Loved it. In fact, it probably would have outrated the Yo-Yo Brothers from the Philippines if they'd aired it at night. People at home flooded the DNC with suggestions for Chief Warren. Here's one. If Elizabeth Warren can speak at a Native American event, maybe Milli Vanilli can host the Grammy Awards. And that's not a bad idea, actually. But it hurt Elizabeth Warren's feelings, so the DNC shut down the chat room. What a shame. It bears repeating, by the way, that not all of this insanity was confined just to the daytime. Some of it bled into primetime as well. Sandy Cortez showed up to promise health care, college education, higher wages to illegal aliens. She did all of that in a 90-second speech. Pretty impressive. It was like a socialist Mad Libs competition. Here's part of it.
Thank you to everyone here today endeavoring towards a better, more just future for our country and our world. In fidelity and gratitude to a mass people's movement working to establish 21st century social, economic, and human rights, including guaranteed health care, higher education, living wages, and labor rights for all people in the United States. I hereby second the nomination of Senator Bernard Sanders of Vermont for President of the United States of America.
Let's put her in charge. Ooh, that's a good idea. Whoa. We should note that crazy as all of this was, and it was, none of it was too crazy for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Sandy Cortez called for giving government health insurance to foreign nationals, tens of millions of them. Jay Mai imagined a world without cops or prisons. Some lunatic in a clerical collar showed up and said Republicans are going to hell. Harris and Biden nodded along. It all seemed normal to them, because it is.
Let's be clear, though. This is beyond a really, really bad infomercial. Yep, okay, it was boring, it was awkward, it was disjointed. What's worse is zero substance, nothing. We heard no real solutions on how they will improve the lives of you, the American people. No policy discussions, no mention of the crisis in America's disastrous Democratic-run cities. You know, that Jerry Nadler said, a myth that there's violence. A myth? No new proposals to combat COVID-19, nothing. Remember, they were missing in action. They thought it was xenophobic and hysterical to put the travel ban in effect. They were impeaching the president in the middle of their trial during the beginnings of all this. Nowhere to be found. No mentions of how to make this country more safe, more secure, wealthier, prosperous. None of that. All you got was a temper tantrum, bumper sticker slogans about pretty much how much they hate Donald Trump. And behind the hatred of him is a hatred of wee, smelly, Walmart shopper Trump supporters, irredeemable deplorables, the 15%, as Biden says. You know, that the angry people that Obama talked about that cling to God, guilty. Yep, our Second Amendment, guilty. Bibles, guilty. And religion, belief in God, guilty again. And by the way, they're trying, and I like to save money at Walmart. My book is really priced low there, like Costco's. Anyway, they're trying to bury their radical policies. That's why Ocasio-Cortez gets a minute. Andrew Cuomo, this was a meltdown and psychosis moment for him, blaming Trump for what he's calling the European coronavirus. Wow, never mind the thousands of seniors who died because of Cuomo's disastrous nursing home policy. We have a new report out today, as a matter of fact, Andrew, from the AP. Now, the true nursing home death, they, quote, is clocked in and cloaked in secrecy, they said. Could be more than 11,000 people, not the 6,000 they're saying, because of Cuomo's stupid decision. Then, of course, Wolf in Pennsylvania, Murphy in New Jersey, Whitmer. Then we had our old pal, Ohio Governor John Kasich. It's really just a really bad case of sore loser-itis, kind of like the recent, you know, recently deceased John McCain. He was pretty angry about losing, as is Hillary Clinton and Al Gore and Mitt Romney. They all think they're going to win. They don't win, they get angry. Anyway, he delivered, John Kasich, his own bitter anti-Trump rant and pretty much just recanted everything that he had said that he publicly believed in. Good luck with that, John. And then there was the former First Lady Michelle Obama, praised by everybody in the mob and the media. And during what were pretty vindictive and inaccurate and untrue remarks, she was so busy trashing President Trump. It's kind of interesting. She didn't even mention Kamala Harris, the first female African-American on a presidential ticket. Although, according to reports, Michelle Obama apparently pre-taped the speech prior to Biden's VP announcement. Couldn't be bothered to retape it. That's how all in she is for Joe. She had almost a full week to tape it. And for the record, Obama disparaged Republicans all the time. Yep, the Obama administration was very divisive. By the way, his record on the economy, 13 million more Americans, food stamps, 8 million more poverty, lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, worst recovery since the 40s, and I can go on. His foreign policy, really, bribing mullahs with $150 billion in cash and other currency, both disasters. Only person who actually gave any substance at all, got to give credit where it's due. There he is, Comrade Bernie Sanders, Bolshevik Bernie. Remember, with Bernie, well, he used to be an annoyance on the fringe of the Democratic Party, an outlier, barely even tolerated. Everyone there thought he was a kook back then. Many Democrats embarrassed by Sanders' radical socialist agenda. Now, well, he is the signal caller. He's the leader of the Democratic Party. He controls the party's agenda. He helped co-write or co-authored Biden's economic platform. In other words, Biden plagiarized it, big portions of it. The Bernie Biden Manifesto, as the president calls it. He is now the mainstream of what is now the Democratic Socialist Party. This is the most extreme ticket of any major party in the history of this country. By the way, don't take my word for it. Let's just listen to what Bernie Sanders had to say last night. He's the leader. He's the economic czar for Joe and Kamala. Take a look.
Our campaign ended several months ago, but our movement continues and is getting stronger every day. Many of the ideas we fought for that just a few years ago were considered radical are now mainstream.
That's actually true. No oil, no gas. Everything's free, 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 unless you pay taxes. If you're a taxpayer, if you have any wealth at all, buckle up. This new radical Democratic Socialist Party, they will confiscate your wealth. They will raise trillions of dollars in taxes for the false promises that will never be fulfilled, the socialist utopia. And by the way, you can kiss the Senate filibuster goodbye if Schumer becomes the leader. Chucky, Nancy, they'll be more than happy to ram this radical wish list right through Congress. And there is the Trojan horse, as the president's referring to Joe Biden. President, he'll sign anything. Dangerous agenda, dangerous possibilities. But hey, at least Bernie Sanders, got to give him credit. He had energy, he had strength, he had stamina, mental alertness, mental acuity to coherently, energetically, he gave the most passionate speech last night. Now, Bernie is a year older than Joe Biden. So the criticism about Biden's struggles, like there was criticism about Reagan and John McCain, is not about age. Instead, it's what we see every single time Joe Biden pretty much opens his mouth when he dares to venture out of the basement bunker. Today, he actually got his decades mixed up and years mixed up. Yet again, watch.
And 40 years later to the month in January of 2018, I found myself in a circumstance where, 2012, I found myself standing in the same spot I had stood 40 years earlier. And I was waiting for a black man, Tom, to come and pick me up from Philadelphia, a guy named Barack Obama, on the 17th of January to take me to Washington, a trip I've made 1,000 times, commuting every day, to be sworn in as president and vice president.
By the way, Joe, let me help you out. You were inaugurated as vice president. You might want to write it down in your teleprompter. That was 2009, not 2018 and not 2012. Whew, glad we got that out of the way. Now, Joe Biden has never been a great speaker. No one has ever really, you know, been inspired by a Biden speech. But you can go back 5 years ago. You should see the ad the RNC put out. We'll pull it up later in the show for you. Joe then and Joe now. Pretty alarming. Seems frail. He seems weak. He seems confused. Often mixes up days of the week. Often mixes up even the office he's running for. But it was never this bad. Now, American people are talking about it. Democrats I know are talking about it. And even those few people I know in the media mob, they're all talking about it. The forgetfulness, the confusion, the trouble with numbers and dates, and of course, these weird bouts with anger. Are you an addict? Are you, what did he say? Did you get a cocaine test? Huh? You a junkie? Come on, man. Now, the Trump campaign asked the question that everyone in America is thinking about. What happened to Joe Biden? We'll let you decide. So you still have the strength, the stamina. So you have the mental alertness and acuity you once had. You decide.
So be successful. I sincerely hope some of you become millionaires and billionaires. I mean that. But engage.
There's a during World War II, where Roosevelt came up with a thing was totally different than it's called. He called it the, you know.
Come on, man. Are you a junkie? At this point, Joe Biden is nothing more than a vessel for the radical socialist left. They know he can be manipulated and he will be controlled. That's scary. And now all they have to do is get him across the finish line and hide him as much as possible. In just 77 short days, this country will either stay the course, the path to prosperity, security, freedom, liberty, invention, innovation that has made this the richest country in the world. We have advanced the human condition because of liberty and freedom, or we will risk becoming what is the next socialist hellhole. Choice is going to be yours, America.
Another night of Democrats doing everything in their power to avoid telling you what their real plans are if the country actually picks Joe Biden. They trotted out a bunch of old familiar faces in a desperate attempt to reassure Midwest voters that Biden will govern as a moderate. However, after watching tonight's speaker's lineup, every American should be alarmed. It was a veritable who's who of failures, each of whom have done immense damage to our country. Now let's start with this blast from the past.
When I ran for president in 1976, Joe Biden was my first and most effective supporter in the Senate. He understands that understanding dignity are essential traits that determine not only our vision, but our actions. More than ever, that's what we need.
Well, God bless them, but are Democrats really trying to harken back to the days of double-digit unemployment, inflation, and of course, Jimmy Carter's malaise? Now, what's that say about their platform today? Now, Carter's biggest accomplishment was getting Ronald Reagan elected president. Tonight's lineup was kind of a time warp amalgam. It's what it would have looked like if both parties held a joint convention in, let's say, 2004. First up, John Kerry is still reporting for duty.
For the 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration, we led by example. We eliminated the threat of an Iran with a nuclear weapon. America deserves a president who is looked up to, not laughed at.
Well, John Kerry's best known for windsurfing, sending pallets of cash to Iranians, and secretly advising that murderous regime behind the backs of the president and the State Department. But sure, he really cares about Americans. Oh, wait, there's one more. Another night, another former Republican.
I support Joe Biden because beginning on day one, he will restore Americans' leadership and our moral authority. He'll be a president who knows that America is strongest when, as he has said, we lead both by the power of our example and the example of our power.
First, his endorsing Biden is the most unshocking thing to have happened in the last year. Okay, he backed Obama twice and Hillary in 2016. And he's a nice man and a patriot. He served his country, obviously. But Colin Powell talking about the example of our power, really? While America has turned away from the interventionist neocons of yesteryear, the Dems trot out one of the masterminds behind Iraq. You remember the one that wasted trillions of dollars and sent thousands of Americans to their deaths in a quixotic search for WMDs? Is this how Joe's foreign policy would be shaped? Now, the race to the bottom didn't end there. Former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, she also made an appearance.
10 days in, I was fired for refusing to defend President Trump's shameful and unlawful Muslim travel ban. That was the start of his relentless attacks on our democratic institutions and countless dedicated public servants.
Wait, attacks on our democratic institutions? This is the woman who President Trump fired for putting open borders above the American people. And she helped weaponize the DOJ against the Trump campaign. But last but not least was Bill Clinton, who uttered the one of the least aware lines of the night. And that's saying something.
At a time like this, the Oval Office should be a command center. Instead, it's a storm center. There's only chaos.
Wait a second. I don't think you should ever talk about the Oval Office. The man who turned the Oval Office into a mini Playboy mansion probably shouldn't be lecturing Americans about what it should symbolize. He forever disgraced the office of the presidency with his sleazy political arrangements that continued after he left the White House. Now, just today, a new pic was revealed showing Bill Clinton getting a massage from one of Jeffrey Epstein's accusers. So I ask, are these really the luminaries that Democrats think best represent their party? Or do we want to continue the unprecedented prosperity, strong borders, and American renewal of the Trump era?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
May God bless America.